Anyway, today's message is, how's your heart? How is your heart doing? Yeah, everybody check, see if you got a pulse. See if you got a pulse. Is it there? Well, fortunately, you have one because you got here. You're alive. So this is good. But we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with your heart, with my heart, with what God wants to do inside of our hearts. Have you had your heart checked lately in the natural? In the natural, you go to your doctor many times, particularly if you get to a certain age. They want to do some extra checking. See how that old ticker is doing. And because it's important we look after our heart. Over 17 million Americans die every year somewhere related to a heart problem. One out of three deaths in America is heart related. Well, that tells us, you know, that there's a lot of things going on that we've got to make sure we look after our natural heart and get it checked out and get it looked after. We have blood pressure. We can go to London Drugs now. You can sit down while you're getting your prescription filled, and you put your arm in one of these cuffs, and mechanically it pumps it all up, and then you listen to see what the systolic, diastolic, you know, what is the pressure happening? Are you healthy? Don't trust it. Go to your doctor. Go to somebody who really knows. But what do? We're constantly finding a way to check, make sure that our heart is functioning properly. A normal resting rate for an adult is somewhere between 60 and 100 beats per minute. But if you are well conditioned, you're an athlete, you are just in your prime, you know, you can get your resting, not quite like me, but you can get your heart rate down to like 40. All right. And it tells you if your heart is efficient, if it's working properly, or if it's struggling. You know, what is your heart like? What is how many beats per minute do you have? Are you happening? Is it high? Is it low? Is it efficient? Is it not? And then how's your heart rhythm? Now, your heart rhythm does not have to do with your worship rhythm, whether you can clap on beat or not. But there is a rhythm on the inside of you that needs to be looked after. So what's your heart rhythm? You know, arrhythmia. Is there a change in your normal heart rhythm, fast, slow, erratic, that it all of a sudden has to get looked after? Because if your impulses are slower or faster or erratic, well, then your heart is slow, fast, or erratic. And what happens is the blood that's being pumped gets affected. And if your blood being pumped up through your heart, into your lungs, into your mind, into your other organs isn't working properly, those things don't work properly. They can get damaged. They can shut down. And all of a sudden, your life can be taken from you. So it's pretty important that you look after your natural heart. How is your heart rhythm? Lots to look after. Because if your heart isn't looked after, even at a young age, you can have serious complications that affect the rest of your life. Your heart, if you don't look after it, it can have diseases and cardiovascular problems in your whole body that ultimately not only can you have a shortened lifespan, but you can have a complicated life. That certain other things get affected, and ultimately you don't live the life to the fullest that you possibly could. Your heart determines ultimately the destiny, the purpose, the plans of things that you could do. Because if you don't have a good heart, you can't do some of the things that you want to do, that you dream about doing, you see other people do. So our heart is very important. So my question is, how's your heart? Go to a doctor, get it checked out. Find out how your heart is. Because it's very important. We can have things like bradycardia, slow heart rate, tachycardia, fast heart rate. We get these ECGs and EKGs. They do the testing to see what are the impulses and what are the beats and how things are happening, because they want to know how is your heart. We see these signs now, and it's all over, especially if you're watching the American news, and there's some drug coming up, and somewhere along the line in the drugs it says, make sure that you check with your doctor whether your heart can take this. You know, for roller coasters, skydiving, hockey, politics, can your heart handle it? You're not allowed to take certain things unless you have a medical report that says, I can actually take that sport. I can go skydiving. Because they don't want you to die in the middle of the flight, all right? You watch these commercials of these guys in the roller coasters or these launching things that are taking place at the P&Es and all the different, where all of a sudden they're strapped in and they're just launched up like a slingshot. And these people are screaming. They're crying. The These guys are passing out in the middle of being launched because their heart can't take the stress. Something's happening. So there are certain things that you can't do if you don't have a good heart. It affects where you're going in life and what you're doing in life. We can also deal with some of the areas of things like a broken heart. A broken heart. Where somewhere your heart is given to a person or a thing or a situation, and you're emotionally attached. You give your heart away, and all of a sudden, maybe somebody does something to you or doesn't do something for you. They promise. There's betrayal. There's a rejection. There's abandonment, and there's a broken heart. Well, and a broken heart can ultimately lead to areas of depression, suicide, violence, anger, a loss of job, loss of finances, those kind of things. People go through life with a broken heart, and their relationships and various things are just ruined for the rest of their life. So we've got this area of even our broken heart. But what about things like hard hearts? We can have a hard heart. You might know somebody that is so bitter, so angry, so upset over an incident that happened years ago, but they've carried that hardness. Everywhere they go, they spew bitterness. They spew it. They're toxic. They can't relate to people anymore because you're going to hurt me just like someone else hurt me. I'm so mad at, and that comes up in our relationships and who we are and what we do. And that hardness of heart keeps us from having fulfillment of life. People become 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, and they're still hard-hearted. They're angry. They're upset at somebody. You're critical. You're judgmental. You're bitter. How's your heart? How's your heart? How's not just the anatomical heart, but how is your heart towards people, towards God, towards your spouse, towards your children, towards your pastor, towards whoever? How's your heart? Because how your heart is right now will affect your future tomorrow. Just like in the natural, if you don't have a good heart, if you have a weak heart, if you have a hard heart, if you have a doubting heart, if you have a negative heart, tomorrow will not be as fruitful as God wants it to be in your life. And I believe every one of us wants to have a fruitful, strong, vibrant life in Christ. And so we have to look at our heart. How is our heart? And God comes out with this beautiful phrase that it's in the Old Testament and Exodus and Deuteronomy. And Jesus picks it up when they come and say, hey, what's the greatest of all commandments? And Jesus says, oh, that's easy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love God with all your heart. And we go, okay, that should be easy, right? Our heart, if it's in good condition, we should be able to love God with all our heart. Here's the problem. Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 17:9. He says, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. We got a heart problem. And yet we got to love God with all our heart. And we go, well, God, I want to love you, but I got this thing inside of me that I have struggles. I have conflict. I have bitterness. I get upset. It says here that it is deceitful. Well, that word literally means sly, insidious, slippery, and fraudulent. That's your heart, my heart. In our natural selves, in our carnal life, in who we are, because of sin, we're fraudulent. We say one thing, we do another. Anybody there? We're sly. We're always looking for the easy way through things. Well, I don't want to tell the whole truth, but it was the truth, but not the whole truth. It's insidious. It's self-gaining to take advantage of somebody else. And our heart sometimes goes and says, I don't really need to really be open about that. We become all of a sudden deceitful. And then it says it's wicked. Our hearts are wicked. To be wicked, sick, frail, incurable, weak. But it's desperately wicked. Our heart in its natural self pursues after being incurable. It pursues after the things of sickness, of weakness. It's not for us. Our heart is ultimately against us. So that very heart that you and I have, God says, will you love me with all your heart, all your soul, mind, and strength? Will you give me all your passion, your desires, your fervency, your dreams? Will you give me all your heart? And we go, yes. And our heart goes, no. we say, oh God, I'm all in. And the heart becomes fraudulent and say, well, you didn't really mean all. You can hold back this. It becomes slippery. Anybody know some slippery people? What they say is not really what they show up doing. You know when you look at them in the eye that what they just said to you, you go, you didn't really mean that. That's our heart. How many know we got a heart problem? We've got a congenital heart problem. We're born with a heart defect. It's called sin, selfishness, flesh. It's carnal. And God says, love me with all your heart. And we go, oh God, you don't want this heart. Because I got a problem with my heart. I've got a disease. I got a spiritual cardiovascular disease problem. I've got an arrhythmia. I got a problem that my heart goes yes, and then all of a sudden it goes no. My heart goes passionate, and then all of a sudden it's not. And all of a sudden we need to come on Sundays at times, and we almost need to have a defibrillator, spiritual defibrillator. We need worship. We need the word. We need somebody to lay hands on us and poof, poof, for get that heart going again because it's been dead for 6 days. And it's like, God, help me. My heart is wicked. Desperately wicked. It's deceitful. And yet we go, God, I want to worship you. God, I want to give you all I've got. God, I want to serve you in my school, in my relationships, wherever I'm at. I want all of you, give all of you. But God, I got this problem inside of me. And you go, well, God, do you really know my heart? Well, God says, yeah, I know your heart. It's deceitfully wicked. So here's what I'm going to do. Let's do this thing called heart transplant. Ezekiel 36, this is the heart of God. God says, I will plant a new heart and a new spirit inside of you. I will take out your stubborn, stony heart and give you a willing, tender heart of flesh. I will put my spirit inside of you and inspire you to live by my statutes and follow my laws. So when we get born again, God comes to us and says, man, I really want you, but our relationship, you need a new heart. For you to have a relationship with me, your heart has to come out, that old, stony, hard one, and we're going to put a new one in you. And we go, awesome, because my heart was man, it was making a mess of my life. So we get this new heart. But here's what happens. Could you imagine somebody who lives a life of just doing all the wrong stuff and doing everything to his body and everything, and all of a sudden he's going to die. And they go, hey, you're at the top of the list. We're going to give you a new heart. And you go, yeah, new heart. You get this new heart, and then all of a sudden, you start doing the same things you used to do. And you wonder why your heart's not working properly. And they go, hey, you can't keep doing what you used to do. You got to look after your heart. And all of a sudden, it clues in, hey, I need to be thankful for the new heart. I need to have gratitude. I need to stay away from the stuff that affects my heart negatively and go to the stuff that helps my heart. And you and I have this responsibility as born-again believers, that when God gives us a new heart, we got to look after our heart. We've got to take care of this heart, or we will slip back into the very things that ruined our heart, that gave us the disease of flesh, of selfishness, of sin, and caused us to have this incurable wickedness in our heart. So you and I need to press in and do things that will look after our heart. Do the things that will cause us to have a stronger heart. We're responsible. Proverbs 4:23 says this. Above all things, first and foremost. It's like when you come out of that relationship with God, you get this new heart. The doctors are standing there. The Spirit of God is standing there. The Word is standing there. Before you leave the hospital, look after your heart. Before you start doing anything, guard your heart because out of it flows the issues, the very things that matter in life. Your dreams, your purposes, your destiny, your relationships, your godliness, the righteousness of Christ in your life. Everything that relates to the kingdom of God and the fulfillment of life comes out of one place, your heart. If your heart isn't right, your marriage won't be right. If your heart's not right, your finances won't be right. If your heart's not right, you will not have the dreams fulfilled that you want because it flows out of the heart. So young and old, our responsibility is guard your heart, protect it. Do whatever you can to make sure your heart stays right with God. So you can love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, but the heart is first. You've got to love God with all your heart. How's your heart? right now. How's your heart? What's going on in your heart right now that's holding you back from fulfilling the call of God, the destiny, the relationships, the purposes of God? How is your heart right now? Are you making right choices? We need to be those that will do what it takes to look after our heart. In the natural, we're told, you know, we've got to eat smart. My wife's a nurse, and she says, man, if you don't have as much green on your plate as you have anything else, she says, we're not having that kind of supper. It's got to have greens. It's got to have oranges and yellows, not just the potatoes, not just the meat. We've got to have this whole thing of color display on our plates because it's got to be healthy, right? We got to exercise. No one in our right mind really likes exercise. We like the benefit of exercise. Okay, we do. But who likes exercise? But we're told to exercise to help our heart. We're told to stay away from junk food. But how many know junk food tastes the best? We go after junk food. We're told to party less and sleep more. How's that working for you guys? Anybody? No, we like to party because then we'll give up our sleep. We do the things that seem to work against our heart. But God says, guard your heart. Spiritually, guard your heart and look after these things. So how's your heart? How are the things going on that God needs to work in your life? So as we make our way over the next few weeks, and I don't know how long we're going to do this, we're going to look at some of the parables of Jesus. The parables of Jesus. And the first one we're going to look at is the parable of the sower. Because the parable of the sower deals with how's your heart? What's your heart like? And the parable of the sower, we're going to spend a couple weeks talking about the conditions of our heart because God wants us fulfilled. God wants every one of us to have our dreams fulfilled, our relationships the best. He wants us to march on through life in the kingdom of God with his principles. We walk to the other side and go, whew, yeah, not just I barely made it, I was a success. I walked out in the principles of God and God blessed my heart and my life. When Jesus was talking to his disciples and to the crowd, he'd use a technique called parables. And a parable, in a basic definition, is through a natural story, he would tell a spiritual truth. Earthly story, heavenly truth. So he would, the word parable, two words, really para, to throw or cast, and abel, or through the Greek word, abolos, means to walk alongside of. So he throws alongside a natural story, a spiritual truth. They're thrown alongside each other. So when he would talk to the group, he'd talk to everybody, he would use these parables. And the reason he used these parables is so that when the unbelievers listened, they would either turn their hearts away or they would lean in and say, what does this mean? It would force them to make a decision to lean in to hear the truths of God. For the disciples, they would ask Jesus afterwards, he says, awesome story. What does it mean? And Jesus would open up the truth to them so that they would understand. And here's my prayer for you as we make these days and as we look at these parables. Will you lean in? Will you lean and say, what does this mean to me? It's a beautiful story, but what's the spiritual significance to me? Will you lean in from where you've been all week long, all your studies, all your activities, all your jobs? Just lean in. Say, God, what do you want to say to me? That's what the disciples did. That's what the unbelievers who all of a sudden started following, they leaned in and their lives were changed. So let's quickly read Mark chapter 4 and get to the story here. All right, Mark 4. This parable is also in Matthew 13 and Luke 8, but we're going to pick up Mark 4. And again, he, Jesus, began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him so that he got into a boat and sat on it on the sea, and a whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And he taught many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it, and some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up and had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop and sprang up and increased and produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And he said to them, lean in. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We can read this parable and catch his interpretation of it, and yet not walk away changed. Lean in. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. As Jesus was telling this natural story with spiritual truth on it, the warning for you and I oftentimes is, because we're listeners, but we're not listeners. We hear things, but we don't listen. The ears are open, but the heart doesn't catch it. So that's the warning of the Word of God throughout. We can be hearers and not doers. Why? Because we don't transmit what we hear down into our life. We don't really listen to it. And you and I are all bad listeners. We got to learn to listen. And that's where he says, lean in. That's where he says, put your ear towards the truth. The disciples don't want to miss anything, so they come and they lean in, and they know that the health of their heart is at stake. So here's one of the first questions. Who's the sower? Well, it doesn't right come out say that he's a sower, but when you take Matthew and you take Luke and you also take a couple of the other sower parables, we find easily that it's God, that it's Jesus Christ. He's the sower of the seed. He's the one that's casting generously seed into people's lives, all right? What's the seeds? Well, verse 14 says, the sower sows the word. The seed is God's word. It is the reflection of the nature and the character of who God is. He casts seeds out of who God is. The seed is the word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. One of the names in the Bible of Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the Word. So when the seed goes out, it's really Jesus in the Word is cast into our lives. There's a number of scriptures. Very quickly, Hebrews 4:12 talks about it being a living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the division. Takes our thoughts, takes our soul, takes the spirit, cuts right through it and says, what's God, what's man? It's powerful, it's living. God's word is a living word. Isaiah 40, the grass withers, flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. God's word is an eternal word. It doesn't come and go. It talks about it in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed, inspiration. It's God's breath. When we get his word, it's him breathing life into us. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. God's word is truth. There's no variation. It is stable. It endures. It's eternal. It's powerful. It's mighty. And God comes and he scatters the seed generously into hearts. And it's like, who's going to receive it? Who's going to receive the very word of God? When the difficult words came out, many of the disciples left. And Jesus turned to his disciples and says, will you too leave me? Is this too hard for you? Are you going to leave? You're going to give up on our relationship because you can't handle the word? And Peter says, where should we go? You alone have the words of truth. So always a decision. Will we receive the truth? Will we receive the word? He scatters generously. Will we receive it in our heart? What does he want to do with these seeds? Sow them so there's fruitfulness. He says, you can have 30, 60, or 100-fold fruitfulness. You don't have to be barren. You can have fruitfulness of God and purposes and plans and dreams. You can have a life that is all of a sudden above everything else that you ever dreamed of and hoped for because his word goes into your heart and there's fruitfulness in you. But he says it's your choice. The soil. What's the soil that the seeds come into? Well, verse 15, it says the word was sown in their hearts. The soil is your heart. Jesus, the sower, the seeds, the word, the soil, our hearts. How's your heart? Can you handle the seeds? Can you handle the word? Can you receive it in your heart and in your life? Each one of us, your heart will determine your fruitfulness. Your heart, not mine, not your parents, not your mate, not your friends. Your heart determines how fruitful you're going to be in this life. And I know you want to be as fruitful as you could possibly be. Four different types of soil, four different type of hearts. We're only going to deal with one very quickly here. And the first is a hard heart. There is perhaps, as a pastor over these 30 years, I have seen so many marriages and so many individuals, so many homes, unfruitful simply because of a hard heart. A husband, a wife, a young person, get hardness in their heart, unfruitful, done. They never grow again. Their life is so unfruitful from that point on. Look at the hard heart in verse 4. It says, and it happened as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured. He interprets it in verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So often we look at this and we go, oh, that's unbelievers. Those are ungodly people. They are reprobates. We're talking about people outside of the kingdom of God. Their hearts are so hard that the gospel comes and we preach at them. We show them love of God. They go, I don't want it. I ain't got no room for it. Their hearts are so hard, the word of God bounces back off them. We say, that's the unbelievers. And God, you need to do something in their hearts or else they're never going to go to heaven. True. But this is also about believers. This is about men and women of God, young and old, where God wants to put a word in your life and you say no. You have a hard heart. Say, God, I don't want that word. I reject that word. God, I don't believe that word. God, I deserve to be angry right now, so I got no room for that word. And we end up with hardness of heart, condition of a believer's heart. Circumstances of life come along, cancer, prolonged illness, loss of a loved one, inability for children, inability for a job, inability to have this, that, or other thing, life unfulfilled. And all of a sudden you get a hardness of heart and you go, God, where were you? And the heart becomes so hard that when a word comes of hope and gentleness and kindness and wants to surround you, you say, no, God, you were there for me now. I don't expect that word to have any goodness in my heart. I don't receive that. And you reject it. A hard heart. In the house, in amongst leaders, in amongst young people, we can get a hard heart. My mom rejected me, my dad, my situation. All of a sudden, I was all on my own. And you get so hard against God, against the house of God, against believers, that God puts a word out of hope. And you go, nope, I'm not going to receive it. We end up with the hard hearts. We end up with anger and bitterness and sorrow. But God's word has life. God's word has hope. Can you lean in and hear that? No matter where, how hard you are right now, God's got a word that can shatter that and bring you beyond and have fruitfulness once again. God's got a word that says, if you will but put a seed, a word into your life, let my word come into you. Have you ever walked the sidewalks or climbed in the mountains and all of a sudden through a rock, a boulder, there is a twig growing? How did this twig grow out of a boulder? Somewhere a seed found the nourishment in life and began to grow and grow and break through that boulder, that crack, and find life. That's what God can do in any heart. This is, I will receive your word in me. The hardness can break and you can find new life and fruitfulness once again. Dreams can come alive. You can all of a sudden walk with fruitfulness in your relationships towards your parents, towards your children, towards your workers, towards life, where all of a sudden, well, how come they got it and I didn't? You give it so hard and now all of a sudden you've got a wall between you and them. Where God says, if you would just let the wall down, let the hardness down, your relationships can be restored. Fruitfulness can happen again. Your life can take the joy and hope and fulfillment that God has for every one of us. Sometimes, though, we can resist the word because we choose to resist the word. Nah, God, I want to live my life in this area. I don't receive that word. God, you want me to treat people this way? No, I choose not to. Lord, my life, I want to live it this way. That word of righteousness and holiness, no, I'm not going to live that right now. I refuse that word. And we become hard to God, and pretty soon conviction of the Holy Spirit doesn't work on you. Because you've accommodated this hardness so long towards godliness, all of a sudden what should convict you and you should go, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is in my life. God, I'm desperate. Get it out of me. And you start to repent and you let God deal with it. Pretty soon it's like, it doesn't really affect me anymore. You talk about it, lying, cheating, sleeping around, pornography, stealing, whatever. All of a sudden your heart is just hard. Oh, that's for somebody else. That really doesn't bother me anymore. And soon the conviction doesn't convict. And you wonder why you're not fruitful. You wonder why my relationships aren't fruitful. Well, it's because you've grown hard in an area that God can't bless you. God can't put promises of hope in you and blessings because you're rejecting God. So it's not just circumstances. Sometimes we choose and our faith becomes affected. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you don't have fruitfulness in your faith, it's not growing. I ask you, has your heart grown hard either to a situation or even towards conviction? Where are you? Where's your heart? How's your heart? So what do we do? What do we do with hardness of heart? Let me give you three simple things as we close. I'm going to have the band come up. How do you remove a hard heart? God's given you a new one. How do you fix it? How do you make sure this new heart is working right? Here's number one. You might want to jot this down. You might not want to, but you might want to. You might want to remember this. Number one, ask the Lord to search your heart. Search me, God. Psalm 139. Search me and try me. See if there's any wickedness in me, any ungodliness, any unrighteousness. Search me, try me. Get to the cardiologist of your spiritual heart. Get an appointment with God. Get alone with God. Book yourself in. Get the blood work done. Get the test done. Hook yourself up to the Word of God and say, God, search me, try me. See if there's any wickedness in me. I know my heart's wicked, desperately wicked. It's deceitful. God, I come and I'm honest. I'm authentic. I'm real. God, would you search me right now? Secondly, if there's anything, will you repent? What's repentance? Repentance is a simple word. It means to go from one direction to another direction. Turn around. Stop going your way. You say, God, forgive me. 1 John 1:9. If we've committed any sin, if there's any ungodliness, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He'll cleanse us. But you've got to go to God and say, God, forgive me. And then you turn around and you go a different way. Repent. Repent to your spouse if there's hardness. Repent to your parents or your children. Repent to your friends. If there's sin in your life, repent to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I've been dull of hearing, hardness of heart, rejecting your word. Holy Spirit, will you convict me? Break me. A broken and contrite spirit, God will not refuse. And thirdly, break up the fallow ground. Hosea says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Sow to yourselves righteousness. Sow to you, me. You sow to righteousness. Get into the word. God, I need to go to scriptures. I need to go to things on relationships, bitterness, hurts, anger. God, I need your scriptures. God, I sow to me right now righteousness, the right ways of God. I need to get into your word. I need to get into the life. Sow to yourselves righteousness. Then it says this, break up the fallow ground. Any farmers here? Anybody know what a farmer's all about? You got to plant seed into soil so you can grow, right? Anybody know what it means to break up the fallow ground? You get a team of horses and you get a plow, you hook it up, you get in behind it so where the only thing that you happens to see is the rear end of a horse, and you begin to plow. You begin to break up the hardness of your life. It's dirty work. It's smelly work. It's ugly work. But the only one that can break it up is you. And you begin to break up the clods, the heavy dirt. Get the hammer, the word of God. Break up the rocks. Remove the roots. Get out the stumps of your life. Break it up so that you can then ask God for the rain. It softens. This is prayer. This is worship. This is God's people. You break up the fallow ground in community. You pray for one another. You ask the Holy Spirit to touch your life. You let worship minister over you. But you've got to do it. God, is there not a bullet, a silver bullet? Is there not a drug I can take right now? Just give me one pill. I can wake up in the morning and my heart is good. No. You got to work at this. God, search me, try me. God, I repent. And thirdly, God, I'm going to break up the fallow ground. So, as we do most services, here's the question. Holy Spirit, what are you asking of me today? What does this mean to me right now? All of us, we're one of three. All of us need to ask God, search me, try me. To some degree, all of us need to repent of something that is holding us back for the fruitfulness, 30, 60, 100-fold of God. And maybe some of us need to break up the fallow ground. So here's what we do. We stand up right now. And we stand before the Lord. Come stand before the Lord. We're going to ask the Lord, God, search me, try me. See if there's any wickedness in me. Number two, Lord, I repent. You're just and able to forgive me of all my sins, of all my iniquities. And thirdly, Lord, I stand here and I say, I will break up the fallow. I commit to turning the soil of my life over so the seeds of your word can come into me. If there's an area in your life you need to make right with God, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, every heart responsive to you, your word, your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed just for privacy. You're saying the Lord has somehow in one area or the other spoken to you this morning. Would you just raise your hand? I want to seal this. Just pray. Yes, amen. Anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit, as even as we sing this song, you would come, Lord, and you would shine your light into the heart of everyone. Whether their hands are up, Lord, that you would, oh God, search and try them. Because, God, there's 30-fold, there's 60-fold, and then there's 100-fold. Every one of us wants 100. Help us, Lord, to get to the 100, but take away any hardness in our heart, Lord. God, if anyone needs to repent right now in their heart right now, let them say these words, God, forgive me. I repent of this area of life. Spirit of God, convict me and help me overcome this. And thirdly, Lord, we commit to breaking up the fallow ground by your word, by worship, in the most intimate of places with you, Lord. Do a work in our lives. In this beautiful spirit, let's sing this song. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, do a work in our lives.